I'm not sure where to begin. What an incredible journey. Treated to the power and the majesty and the raw energy of creation. Treated to the twists and the turns and the gentleness and the power and the consistency and the faith of God throughout the ages as salvation history unfolded through the ages. The challenges and the successes of his creation, the failures of his creation we have been treated to again and again and again. The interesting thing about it is that the history as described in the Jewish Testament and even in the Christian Testament is so full of twists and turns and surprises. We get complacent because we hear it so often. But the reality is that God intervened in the oddest times, in the strangest places, and sometimes in the strangest ways. And we're never ready for it. Not ever. Not ever. The conversations that God and Moses had while they were in the desert. Get rid of these people. God, they don't like you. They're mad. They're angry. They're not doing what they want. Okay, I'll get rid. No. Wait a minute. Don't do that. You don't want to do that. The prophets, living lives, calm, successful, some of them, just minding their own business. I'm a dresser of sycamores. I'm doing fine. I have plans for you. Prophet after prophet, calling the people to the truth, challenging them to understand more fully and more completely God's plan, and inviting them to live it out. And then that moment in time when the world stood still. The birth of an infant. God on this earth. This God who created the universe from nothing. His son on the earth, our brother. What a moment. Filled with mystery, filled with glory, filled with song and majesty. And he grew in wisdom and understanding. And then the time came. The time in the desert, preparing himself for what was to come. Tempted by the devil, vanquishing Satan, the gospel reads, for a while. And then the disciples joining him. Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Be aware of the wonders that you will see. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when I feed the hungry with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Don't be surprised when I give sight to the blind or a voice to the mute. Don't be surprised when I raise the dead. Again and again, salvation history is done. The Son of Man, God has sent me to fulfill what he promised so long ago. Twists and turns in our lives, we all have them. We all experience them. I had one this afternoon. Would you like to hear about it? Good. I had a homily all figured out I was going to talk about because we are joining our Jewish brothers and sisters in the celebration of Passover this week. Sometimes it happens, it coincides, and it does this year. Last night was the first evening of Passover, and I have a Jewish friend in Phoenix, and I called her and wished her a blessed Passover, and she said, well, my family's out of town, so we're going to wait until Friday. I said, can you do that? She says, sure. Okay. Well, because it's the last day of Passover by then. I was like, okay. Have a good time. So I thought we'd talk about Passover, and so I did some research. And the Jewish Passover meal today includes, honest, it was in Wikipedia, so it must be true, right? A brisket and flourless chocolate torts. Jesus had chocolate torts? No, he didn't. So I had this conversation. I was getting all ready for it, and I was doing some research. And I thought, well, I have to sort of change the fact that this week we are celebrating the same feast that Jesus Christ celebrated in the upper room with his disciples. Apparently not. And I had a friend come in this afternoon, and we were talking about it, and that became more and more evident as I talked to him. That's not going to work. We can't talk about what happened 2,000 years ago because it ain't the same. Okay, thanks. What do I do with that? Jesus intervenes in our lives so many different ways. And the challenge is to be open to it. That's why we have seasons like Lent, where we focus intentionally on this idea of prayer and fasting and giving, things that Jesus told us to do all the time. Pray, fast, give. Be open to the Spirit, because it will move you. And then he showed us what it looked like time and again. Time and again, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, heal the sick and the dying, forgive sinners. One of the most powerful passages in the Gospels is the Last Supper. Again and again, I go back to that because he's washing the feet of his disciples. You love Peter, we all love Peter. No, Jesus, you can't do that. Well, then you can't go to heaven. Fine, Peter, no worries. He's Jewish, okay. No, then, if that's the deal, you have to wash everything, Jesus. You have to wash my hands and my head. Oh, Peter. I love you. But what happened is he continued around the table. If you read it carefully, Judas hasn't left the table yet. What? As I read the Gospel of John, Judas had his feet washed by Jesus Christ. In my mind, in my world, in my heart, that's Jesus forgiving Judas. Peter asked him, how many times do we have to forgive? Seven? Oh, Peter, no, again and again and again and again, and we have to forgive, and I'll show you what it looks like. The sadness is that Judas didn't get it. He despaired. Peter did, and on the beach after the resurrection, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I do. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I do. Care for my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I do. Do you think Peter was thinking about the three times he denied him? No. But there was the third forgiveness. time and again and again, Jesus grabs us, says, hold on, because the ride isn't over. That gift in the upper room, I don't know what it was. They don't know what it was. It was bread and it was wine, and he broke it and gave it to us. And he blessed the wine and gave it to us and said, this is my gift. This is my gift. And then the world stood still a second time. Into your hands, Lord, Father, I commend my spirit. It is finished. And the world stood still for a minute. Angels wept. The world was turned upside down. Saints were awakened and appeared to people. And the Son of Man died. They put him in a tomb. Then they left. And they went back a couple days later. Yank, one more time. The world stood still because the resurrection occurred. God's Son vanquished everything that was evil in the world for that moment. This is what God looks like, triumphant. The resurrection. And he shares that with us. Because we're invited to the resurrection. We're invited to follow him in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. The Easter season goes on for 8 days. The day of Easter is 8 days long. Because there's so much power and glory in it, it takes 8 days to get it all in. And then we spend time in the season. Appearances by Jesus Christ. Be at peace. Do not be afraid. He continues to minister and to show us what we are called to do time and again. Pentecost. The Jews have a feast of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. Our Jewish brothers and sisters, the root that we have in our own lives, our own prayer, our own love, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, yanking people out of their fear and their sadness and their concern and saying, this is what you've been called to do, to proclaim the good news. Do it. Do it. Preach, pray, bless, sing, tell the story. Tell the story. And so here we are, starting that part of our journey, becoming ready for the Holy Spirit to descend. The fourth time that the world stands still, because the power of God descends in fire and wind, and the whisper of the Spirit inflaming our hearts and our minds and our souls and our bodies and saying, yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can follow the Lamb. It starts here. It starts now. It starts tonight in our lives as we join in the resurrection.